Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our New Testament reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke. And this is the famous account where the two disciples, Clopas and a friend, are coming home after Jesus has been crucified. And a stranger walks along with them. And at the end, they invite him into their home, and they recognize him in the breaking of bread. And as I read this, and I'm reading an edited version, just a selected series of verses, but as I read this, I'd ask you to think about what are the events that lead up to those disciples recognizing who that stranger is, the living Christ. What's happened on that road that prepares the way for that moment of recognition, that breakthrough? Okay. Now, on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. Can you feel the emotion? They stood still, looking sad. And one of them, whose name was Clopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And of course, the one who knows everything that's taken place says to them, "What things?" And they replied, "These, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and who our chief priests and leaders handed over to be condemned to death and crucified him." Again, can you feel the pain? "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Their hopes are crushed. And then, going ahead a little bit in the account, and then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is nearly gone." So he went to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, notice the guest becomes the host. He broke bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Where have you heard that before? He broke bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. In our scripture reading this morning, we have those two disciples walking along the road to Emmaus. They're going home, and it's getting late in the afternoon. They're discouraged. They're disappointed. And as they're walking along, feeling very sad, there's a stranger who joins them along the way. And as they come to their own home, it's getting late, and they say, come and join us. It's dangerous to be traveling out here at night. And they invite this stranger in, and the stranger becomes the host, not the guest, but the host. And they recognize him in the breaking of bread. Now, I think this very compelling account has rich meaning for our church and for you and me as well. And the first thing that strikes me is that Christ is present when we, like those first two disciples, Clopas and his friend, are walking our own road to Emmaus. That we are not alone when we are in times of difficulty. We may think that God has left us, but there's that stranger who walks by our side. And remember the scene now. Jesus has been crucified. These people, Clopas and his friend, had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. And now those hopes were crushed. Their hearts are as dark as the gathering night around them. No hope. Everything gone, trashed. And yet there is that stranger who walks by their side with encouraging words. And I don't know, as you look at your own lives, have you experienced those times of difficulty when you've been on that same Emmaus road and sort of had the stuffing knocked out of you? Have you experienced arms that have encompassed you? Have you experienced a whispered word of peace and encouragement? Have you experienced a strength that really didn't come from yourself and yet saw you through? C.S. Lewis, who was a very famous Christian writer, lost his wife. And when she died, he said it felt as if God had just slammed the door in his face. And not only that, God had slammed the door and bolted it and double bolted it from the inside. And yet, on his own Emmaus road, he discovered that he wasn't as alone as he thought he was. There was that stranger who walked with him. Have you known that stranger? There's something else that strikes me too about this account. And I think this is something that prepares the way for those disciples. And that is, though they are really crushed, You know, the Bible says they were just standing there still looking sad. Jesus is gone, they think. They're just, all the hope is gone. And yet, they are able to get out of themselves and think of someone else's need. As down as they are, they say to this stranger, you know, it's not safe for you to be traveling at night. Come stay with us. An act of simple kindness. And I think that's the kind of church God wants. That's the kind of church Jesus likes. You know, and I think, like those disciples on the road, this church, in association with others in the area, it's taking care of a family, a Kurdish family, a refugee family. Have you any idea what it's like for a family like that to come to a strange country with strange foods, a different language, different customs? It wears you out. And who knows what hell those people have been through. Patty and I yesterday were talking to a refugee woman who'd been back to Kabul in Afghanistan. And she was there when that ambulance loaded with explosives blew. She was close by. She was in a house. And it had the windows blown out. It had the door just blown off its hinges. We can't imagine what some of those people have been through. And yet you have extended that hand of kindness and help. How many sandwiches were made here last year for Gwim? 1,700? There's the food bank here in Southbury. There's the Super Sunday offering over here. It looks like this was stacked against the Eagles to start with, I know. There's a prejudice shown there. But you know, that's what God is looking for. An act of kindness where people get out of themselves and think of the need of someone else. Come stay with us. I was watching the news, and you know, with the Olympics coming up, not just the football game, but the Olympics coming up, Leicester's in Korea and all the rest of it. And I happened to think of something that happened in Rio. And for me, this was an example of kindness. I don't know if you remember this. This was at the 5,000-meter heat semifinal. The American Amy D'Agostino clipped the New Zealand runner, whose name was Nicky Hamblin, and they both went down. And usually in a situation like that, a runner, you forget about the other person. You're out for yourself and winning. You get up and get going. But Abby said to the New Zealander, "Come on, get up. We've got to finish this race." And Abby at the time did not realize that she was in pain. She had a torn ACL and all kinds of other bruises and hurts as a result of that fall. And the two finished the 2,000 meters that were left, and they finished together. And of course, this became a headline around the world as a simple act of kindness of one person to another. And I was interested in what D'Agostino said. This is what she said. It's really affirming that a simple act of kindness is recognized on a global level. It just goes to show that when we see something like that, it resonates, because we know on a deep level that's just what being human is about. That's just what being human is about. Serving other people and sacrificing. Simple act of kindness. Come, stay the night with us. You know, they're miserable, and yet they can think of someone else. And I think that helps prepare the way for the recognition that comes. And there's something else there, too. Did you notice? What does Jesus do with these people? He interprets the scriptures. He explains the scriptures to them. You'll find in the Gospels, the disciples are often out of it. They don't get it. That's you and me. Jesus explains the scriptures to them. The scriptures speak about life. They speak about God and our relationship to God and its importance. I remember John Steinbeck in the book East of Eden had a very nice line that he has one of the characters say. And Steinbeck knew his scriptures. I'm not sure about his faith life, but he knew his scriptures. And he said, he has one of the characters say, you know, give me a used Bible, and I can tell you about that person by the pages that are edged with the dirt of seeking fingers. And I don't know about you, but I know there have been times in my life when I've had those seeking fingers. The scriptures speak to us about life and about people's experience of God and the importance of that. You know, we are not the first ones who came along on this earth. We can learn from those who go before us. Two things, I think, in this account lead up to that recognition. The scriptures. And you know, that act of kindness. And here, when Jesus sits at the table with them in their house, and there's that breaking of bread, all of a sudden they realize who that stranger has been, the living Christ. That's the moment of recognition of what's been there all the way through our lives. How many of you have grandchildren? I had, this goes back a ways when my grandkids were little, and one of them was sort of like a pixie and had a mischievous glint to her eye. And she was little, and she said, "Granddaddy, lift me up." So I'd lift her up. And then she'd say, "Granddaddy, lift me up a bit higher." And right at face level we were. And then she would say, "Granddaddy, lift me up still higher." Lifted her up, way up. And then She says, "Granddaddy, I'm closer to God than you are." And I think, you know, God is close. When we, like those disciples, invite Jesus into our homes, and even at our home tables, when we're breaking bread, there can be one who breaks the loaf and blesses it and gives it to us. And even in church, when, like those two disciples, we invite Jesus in and we break bread here together, we may find the living Christ. They recognize the one who's been with us all along in all his encouragement and all his deep love. Amen.